little bit? Oh, yes.
It's not working.
Oh, isn't it? Okay. I will point at you. Okay. So, as I said, AGM on Tuesday, and when the AGM comes around, it kind of makes me reflect a little bit on where we've been as a church, where we are, where we're going as a church community. And so I want to think about things around that a little bit and build on what Claire was talking about last week, which I'm sure you all remember very well, as being talking about Jesus as light of the world and a bit about how we shine our light and also spreading God's love and thinking about how we have an impact and how we make a difference. And I just wanted to put this up first of all. You might wonder why. But that is the impact that people in the early church had. So on there, the map is the area that was referred to in the Acts of the Apostles. So all the places where they went to and then into Paul's letters and things like that. So it spreads from Rome right up in the northwest down to Jerusalem in the southeast. Bit of scale there for you. So in a straight line from Rome to Jerusalem, about, I think, 1,500 to 2,000 miles. If you go by road, you have to go up Italy and all the way around, and it ends up being about 4,000 miles, I think. So a fair old distance that the church spread out into and had an impact on. And it's worth noting that their ministry wasn't just proclaiming the gospel. So thanks. These are things that it said that the early church were doing. They sold possessions and shared with those in need, shared everything they had, it says in Acts 4. We'll look at that a little bit later. Then into James, urged to live out their faith through helping others. So actually displaying their faith. And then in 1 John, helping others to is a demonstration of God's love in us. So I'm going to focus on that a little bit. And doing a little bit of reading around this, it's interesting that Christians were known at that early time as caring for the sick and the hungry. And I found a little bit that said, by AD 250, the Christians were feeding around 1,500 hungry and destitute people in Rome. So the first food bank, or an early food bank, set up by Christians, which tends to be the case nowadays as well, doesn't it? But a lot of the food banks that we have are church-based. So thinking about that idea of how we have an impact and how we go out into our community. And Jesus used two common word pictures, if you like, which I have talked about before when he's talking about the role of his followers. And that is the idea of salt and light. In Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16, this is where Jesus is talking about it. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, as we know, salt is used as an enhancer of flavour. And it can also make you thirsty. And it also acts as a preservative. So what Jesus was saying was that as being salt of the earth, we can bring out the full flavour of life for people. We can create a thirst or desire in people that we meet. Trevor was talking in our meeting on Tuesday. We will feed back, by the way, some of the stuff that we've been discussing with Trevor at the AGM. But he was talking there about the phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And he was saying that one of his friends then adds a little bit that says, but you can salt its oats. So I'm thirsty as well. So we can think about what do we do, what can we do that makes people thirsty for God. And then the idea of being the light of the world. When a light shines, it gives direction, provides security as well. I was thinking that, you know, if you've got these security lights on in your house and things like that, then as the light comes on, it brightens things up and provides some security. So as light radiating people, we have the challenge of living our lives so that others can see God, so that they can see the effect of God on our lives and be directed towards Him. Our influence should be evident, like a city on a hill or a lamp on a stand. Both images help us to understand the values we hold as part of Jesus' kingdom, and therefore should dictate the way that we behave, so that our difference is plain for people to see. And hopefully, when we meet people, they will see that we have a difference because of our relationship with Jesus. Jesus calls us to be in the world, but not of it. Again, Trevor has referred to it talking here, I think, before, as having authentic lives. And as a group doing this, we're united by that common belief, and therefore we become that community of believers. And if we were to turn to Acts chapter 2 and verses 42 to 47, I'm not going to read through it, we've looked at it before, but it's the bit that is talking about what the apostles did, the fact that they met together, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, they were breaking bread together, they shared everything that they had, they shared with those in need, they worshipped together, they met in people's homes. And that was kind of a picture of the early church. And another bit I was reading said it could be defined as a well church. So W, worshipping, E, evangelistic, L, learning, and L, loving. It's that idea of being a well church, being a worshipping church, an evangelistic church, a learning church, and a loving church. And that's something that I believe we would want to be as well, to be a well church, if you like. And we not only shine our light as individuals, but we shine it as a community. and we need to be seen as a community that reflects Jesus. If we look further into the New Testament, then there are a number of bits there. And again, it should just roll out now. There we go. So a number of things there that are mentioned about how we should behave. We should love one another, honour one another, build up one another, accept one another as Christ accepted us, care for one another, serve one another, be kind to one another, forgive one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, live in peace with one another, and confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. Quite a list, isn't it, of things that we are asked to do. Oh, I've jumped a page. And I wonder how well you think we're doing, or you're doing, or do you think other people would say that about us as a community?
Yes.
Good. Mostly. But are there areas that we need to think about? Are there areas that we could focus on more? And as we attempt to live this life, as we attempt to live that out, we show the world the love of God and the forgiveness that God has shown us and the acceptance that we have through Jesus. As I mentioned last week, our sort of strap line is a community bringing God's love to the world. So I was thinking again about how we go about doing that. So I'm just going to have a look at just that one for now. Thank you. So first of all, we can think about how we might impact our community. So Matthew 25, 34 to 40 says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'My father has blessed you. Come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And when I was naked, you gave me clothes to wear. When I was sick, you took care of me. When I was in jail, you visited me.' Then the ones who please the Lord will ask, 'When did we give you something to eat or drink? When did we welcome you as a stranger or give you clothes to wear or visit you while you were sick or in jail?' The king will answer, 'Whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me.'" So that gives us a challenge of thinking how we can have an impact on our community through what we do. How do we go about reaching people where they are? How do we discover and meet the needs of people? What sort of events, ministries do we have there? Where does Bible teaching fit in to that sort of thing? How do we change lives? How do we help people's lives to change so that we see that spiritual transformation? What is it that we have to offer to people? And the idea that we all have a part to play. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, it's bits and pieces from that, but 4 to 6 first, and then a bit from verse 12. "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve the same Lord, and we can each do different things. Yet the same God works in all of us and helps us in everything we do. The body of Christ has many different parts, just as any other body does. So we can all play a part in the community. Each one of us is as important as the next person. No one is any more important in terms of what we do for Jesus. And we shouldn't also sit and think, well, I haven't got anything to offer. Because each of us do have something to offer. We can all do something that will show God's love, that will bring some influence into people's lives. Then it goes on about meeting together. In Hebrews, there it says, we should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and do helpful things. Some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other, especially since you know that the day of the Lord is getting closer. So, as a community, we also have a responsibility to encourage each other, to help each other to develop and grow in our relationship with God, to develop deeper relationships with God, and also to develop deeper relationships with each other, so that we have those strong relationships and we have some accountability. We need to be thinking and focusing on how we build people up and not break them down. So how do we go about that? What can we do in our community, in our individual lives for that? And then the next bit is about talking to God. It's also about talking to each other in 1 Thessalonians. My friends, we beg you to warn anyone who isn't living right. Encourage anyone who feels left out. Help all who are weak and be patient with everyone. Do not be hateful to people just because they are hateful to you. Rather, be good to each other and to everyone else. Always be joyful and never stop praying. Whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you to do. So that idea there, the last little bit, that idea of always praying and thanking God, is that idea of being in that constant communication with God, but also doing the same for each other, again about encouraging people. And as Claire said last week, it can be summed up by this last bit, which is love God and love others. And you could add love the world in there as well. And there is quite a big chunk in John, which again I'm not going to read all of it, but I just want to think about this idea of love a little bit, and thinking about what that actually means. I'm sure you're fully aware it's Valentine's week this week, and rushing out to get those red things to pass on to the one that you love and that sort of stuff. But at the beginning of John, it says, beginning of 1 John 4:7-8 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. So, the thing to note, or one thing to note at the end there, that it says, it doesn't say that God loves. It says that God is love. Love is not an activity that God takes part in, but is rather his essence. And therefore, one of the most important things that we will ever learn is that God never stops loving us. Whatever we might have done, God continues to love us. Peter denied Jesus, but he was still loved. John Mark quit in the middle of a missionary journey, but Jesus still loved him. David did all sorts of horrendous things, but was still loved by God. Max Lucado, who was the author, I don't know whether you've read The Story, which is the Bible as a story, he's one of the co-authors of that, he writes this: if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring, a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he'll listen. He can live anywhere in the universe, and he chose your heart. Face it, he's crazy about you. So, as I said, this week there'll be a lot of focus on love, because commercialism is going for it for this week, for that particular thing. And I'm sure there will be lots of meaningful things in there as well, in amongst it all. But as a community that brings God's love to our community, how do we do it like God? And how do we do it every day? It's not just for February the 14th. It's how we go about doing that every day. So what is God's love like? First of all, it's unconditional, isn't it? God's love isn't based on how good I am, we are, or what I've done this week, or what I haven't done this week, or this month. He loves us regardless. And he loves us as well because we love each other. And we must show that love for each other as well, which can be maybe difficult at times. God's love is also sacrificial. God sent his only son Jesus to be the saviour of the world so that we could have eternal life. And he did that regardless of how we were behaving. So love, God's love is not based on what other people do for us or how they behave towards us, so that we can love them. It's not about what we can get from them if we love them. There aren't strings attached. It's about loving others, and loving others so that they find the love of God as well. God's love is also accessible. God loves everyone and anyone, and wants us to do the same, which again can be a challenging thing when we see and hear things in the news. God doesn't choose based on looks, fortunately, ability, or what can be done for him, and nor should we. God's love is also non-judgmental. He didn't send his son to condemn the world. He sent it to save it, sent him to save us, to pardon us, to deliver us. Again, not something that is always easy in the situations that we might find ourselves. And God's love is beneficial. Through Jesus, God set us free from sin, and we can enjoy an eternal life. He also gave us his Spirit so that we know we're one with him. In John 13:35, Jesus said this: "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That's how people will know that we're his church. That's how people will know that we belong to Jesus. And that's how people know that we love Jesus. As I said, 1 John 4, 7-21 gives a lot of information about how God loves us and how we should behave because of that. So you may want to have a read of that at some point in the week, or find somewhere to listen to it or something like that. And this week, as we go about our daily lives as individuals, as a community, as groups of people, we have the challenge and the opportunity of sharing God's love with other people and with each other. Well, I thought it might be good just to have a little bit of time to think about what we might be doing next week, or the next couple of weeks, what situations we might find ourselves in, and perhaps asking God how we could just share a little bit more of his love in that situation, a little bit more of his influence over the next week or so. So if anybody's got anything particular that is happening in the next couple of weeks that they want to share, then do that, and we will pray for that particular situation. We'll just have a think about that first before we